Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
Third time of trying. We've had a few minor technical difficulties, including me pressing the wrong button and Becca inadvertently, totally by accident, taking over my headphones right now. So that wasn't very fun.
Wow.
I know, it's scary, isn't it?
That is scary.
Now, I must apologise. I really must apologise to you, Tim, for delaying you in the recording of this. I'm sure most of you by now know that we record this on a Tuesday afternoon so that we can edit it and get it out there, publish it, post it up online for you to enjoy on a Wednesday morning. And that normally means we'd record it early on a Tuesday afternoon. However, right now it is 20 to 6, just little more than 2 hours before our next thing as a church. So I want to say I'm really sorry for delaying it, Tim.
I'm sure you've got a very, very, very good reason, Tom. And you're going to explain it to us now on bended knee to see if we'll forgive you or not.
Well, for those of you who know me, you'll know that I am a film buff. I love cinema. I love the experience of movies. I love different movies, alternative movies, big movies, little movies, all sorts of films. However, there has been one film series that has never yet crossed my eye, and that is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I'm ashamed. I actually am ashamed to say that I've not watched them. And up until a couple of weeks ago, I'd never even seen any one single film in the series. That was when I was able to catch the Fellowship of the Ring for the first time. And today, for the first time in my whole life, I watched The Two Towers. So that's why I'm delayed. For those of you who know the film, you'll know it's very long. So, you know, I ended up being a bit longer than I thought I'd be. But yeah, I think this is one of those things. I was too young when it first came out. I was only a little child and we got the DVD of it from the library. But we lasted about half an hour before my sister sort of could no longer watch anything else. And I think my dad was asleep and mum was thinking, is this actually appropriate for my kids to watch? And so they took it out of the DVD player, put it back in the box and sent it back to the library for to swap it for a different film. And that was it. And I guess all through my life, I've waited for opportunities to watch it. I have the Blu-rays of it upstairs and I've never really watched them. I watched like the first hour and a half of the first film a couple of years back, but I stopped and I thought, you know what? I need to watch this in a cinema on a big screen. So I thought I could go down to church. I could go and watch it in the hub, close all the curtains, not let anyone else know I'm there and have a private screening. But fortunately, as cinemas reopened in the UK, they took the incredibly timed decision of playing these three, what I'm seeing right now really are excellent films, kind of one week after the other. And so Two Towers is this week, and next week I get to finally finish off the trilogy with The Return of the King. And I can tell you right now, I am so excited. And, you know, spoilers aside, I think I can already kind of work out a lot of what's going to happen. However, you know, it is one of those things that I can joke about this, but it's taken a global pandemic for me to finally watch these films, and I'm so pleased that I have. Of course, you watched them many years ago, Tim, didn't you?
Oh, many years.
It's 20 years since the first film. That's why.
I was going to say 2001. Yeah. The first film came out, and I can't believe it's 20 years ago. But I did see all three films in the cinema when they were first released, and because they were released quite quickly,
yes,
weren't they? Or number two and three,
1 year after the other, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. And because filmed in New Zealand, a lot of it, wasn't it, with some incredible landscapes. And that is the reason you have to watch it in the cinema, because of the vastness of the landscapes. And you can only appreciate that, really. And the battle scenes as well, you have to see on a big screen because of the vastness of those as well.
And the sweeping speed, the speed of it as well. You don't quite realise that watching things on a telly, when things move very quickly, it can be quite jarring when you're kind of able to catch it in a cinema. You can follow it so well and you feel every blow, don't you? And the way that your seat vibrates a little as the music builds. Oh,
that's right. And just it attacks your senses in the cinema, doesn't it? As you say, it sort of vibrates. And I remember going to see a film. It was called Earthquake. This is back in the 70s. And this was in a huge cinema in Bournemouth. So, I mean, 1,000-seater cinema. You don't tend to have those so much anymore. But then, back in the 70s. And this film introduced surround sound.
Wow.
Surround sound. And so the earthquake actually happened all around you. So that was quite a novel sort of introduction. And I know this is very old technology now, but in its day, it was amazing. But it is that feeling, isn't it, that you feel you're part of this incredible story, and actually you immerse yourself in it in a cinema experience, I think, the like of which you can't when you're at home because you're distracted by everything else around you. But to be immersed in this story, and what a story Tolkien wrote. I think the first book was published in 1954, so it's not an ancient book, but it's one that has threads of the Christian story running all the way through it, doesn't it? Because obviously Tolkien expressed some faith, and out of his faith came this incredible story. I guess similar to C.S. Lewis a lot, and of course they interacted together as well in their lives quite frequently. So there's definitely a connection. And to think that these two incredible literary giants wrote from a foundation of faith these big stories, these battle stories and these wonder stories and these good and evil stories, which of course are at the heart of every single story in the universe, aren't they? So I'm really glad that you've seen two of them, Tom, and I hope number three isn't a disappointment to you. I'm sure it won't be, and I hope that you'll enjoy the conclusion when it comes of number three.
Well, I think given it's one of the only sequels, or perhaps the only sequel to have won an Oscar, I think it probably is going to live up to all of the expectation and the hype that it's been given up till this point.
That is rare, isn't it? Because The Godfather was a great film. Godfather 2 was not a very good film. And Godfather 3 was terrible. So sequels normally take a dip, but this one definitely took a rise up in its story because it's about us, isn't it? It's about us and our world, and even though it's fantasy, at the heart of it is a big story that we can relate to. And that sort of links in a little bit to Joshua, doesn't it? A little bit.
Yeah.
The series we're running at the moment, and the story, the big story in Joshua, which also has very individual elements in it. And last Sunday, of course, Joshua 7, we were looking a little bit at the big story, but also the role of one individual within that story and his own sort of failure, if you like, to stay close to God, close enough to continue to obey him. And as I said on Sunday, I think that is one of the big things for me whenever I read scripture. You know, it's the story I find myself in as well. And I don't have to search hard to find myself in the narrative. And because, you know, human challenges and temptations are all the way through it. And of course, we face very similar things as well. So it's great to have these sorts of big retellings of what is the same story of a God who sort of is involved in all that's going on in the life of the people of Israel and Joshua, and obviously in the Lord of the Rings, in the search of Frodo and his friends. It is Frodo, isn't it? Bilbo.
No, it is Frodo. Bilbo was the old guy. Bilbo was the older.
Well, he's from The Hobbit.
Yes. Getting your books mixed up. But
I know. Terrible.
I've been fascinated by our series on Joshua, and of course fascinated by looking at all of the different characters from the Lord of the Rings story that you can picture where Tolkien's inspiration came from for so many of them. And it's very different from Narnia, isn't it? It's very different from the very much sensual figure of Aslan that we see, who clearly is an embodiment of God and provides all of the same bits of input that we know God has on our lives. But I guess I'm not really seeing the main characters in this as being the Christ-like ones. I guess Gandalf clearly is. But then you've kind of got Sam, haven't you, as a disciple, someone who just wants to serve, is just doing what he's told to do because that's what he knows he must do. And we see that in Jesus through what happens in the story when Jesus had to die. And that's just Jesus following what he was told to do because it was the only way that things could be made right for us. And I know what happens. I've seen the clips of what happens next week and how Sam kind of Spoiler alert, if you've not seen them or read them, stop listening now. But I obviously know that Sam carries Frodo up Mount Doom in the final steps. I know that happens. But it's just, you see so many different characteristics. And then, of course, you've got all of the others. You've got Aragorn, who has all of the things, how he overcomes evil, and he has the ability to heal people. And all, it's just, it's incredible. And then, yeah, contrasting it into this Joshua story, we see God just giving a simple request. And it's this story parallels so much for me. And I don't think I'd picked up on this before, but that's because I've never spent enough time in the book of Joshua. It parallels so much with the story at the very start of the Bible, where God says, look, I'm going to give you all this land, but don't do this one thing. And you almost are saying, your head goes to, well, why? Why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't I have the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why shouldn't I take some of the things that we find? The answer kind of is that God knows exactly what we need for ourselves. And ultimately, Achan is punished. He's punished for the thing that he does, much like how Adam and Eve were punished for what they did. And good and evil and right and wrong are themes that society loves picking up on. But we actually see it all through the Bible. And of course, everything changes in the New Testament with how Jesus comes along and, in a way, rewrites the rule book. Because no longer is your salvation tied to doing good, it's tied to following Christ. But we still have to acknowledge and admit to ourselves that good and evil still exist in the world. And actually, if we love Christ, we should strive to do good. We're going to fail. This is the reassurance that God gives us in a way of saying, look, you are going to get this wrong, but you know what? You're already forgiven. Sadly, in this story, even though Achan admits what he's done, the punishment remained for him. There wasn't a retribution arc that he was able to follow. But, of course, what came out of it was the Valley of Achor. And this, in a way, area that the Israelites, once again, as we've seen through so many different parts of the story, up till this point, we see these moments when they can turn around and see where God has been and remember his power and authority and his perfect nature, and the way that he's fulfilled them and brought them through all this difficult time. It's a passage where last week on the podcast, you were saying that you wanted us to pray for you on how to be able to do a good job of it, but you brought it alive so beautifully at the weekend, and it's just a wonderful. It's another really important part. And I know they say all scripture is God-breathed. Of course it is. But there are some parts of the Bible where I will hold my hand up and admit that it's hard to sometimes see the relevance. But actually here, again, this is all just part of this narrative that we've seen of trusting in God, because ultimately God knows what is best for us.
And it's so human, isn't it? It's so us, you know, Achan, you know, temptation, he fell for it. And as you've said, you know, we see that countless times in the lives of many of them. You know, the Bible is a real book. It's not a sanitized version where only the heroes get a line. You know, everybody gets there. And I think also I love Joshua's reaction. I find his reaction so human. I know he was human, of course he was, but you know, he fell down on his face and he said, why have you given me these people? You know, I don't know, we haven't got a hope, you know, and everything's going to go wrong, and what are you going to do about it, God? You know, I'm sure we've all had those moments, and again, the Bible is full of them. The psalmist, of course, cries out time and time and time again, saying, God, how are we going to get through this? You know, but God is just a God who just takes people from their faces, and I love it that he says to him, stand up, you know, come on, we're gonna face this together. And yeah, I didn't spend a lot of time talking about that, but I think there's that sense of God just loves, you know, wants to be with us and wants to walk with us and wants us to do well. You know, his heart is for us to do well, and you know, he believes in us and trusts us, and he's given us this treasure, hasn't he? This Paul says in Corinthians, you know, he's given us this treasure in jars of clay. You know, we are broken and we are gonna mess up, but we've got this treasure, and we keep our eyes on that, and you know, that there's a victory to be won that's just around the corner. And yeah, come on Sunday, or tune in on Sunday for chapter 8, because you know there's some good news in there as well of the ongoing struggle for the promised land, and you know, God just didn't give it to them on a plate. They had to work for it, and I think there's a real lesson for us to learn as well. You know, we work with God in this, and we go at His pace, and don't try and shortcut it like Achan did. You know, the God, you know, has blessing upon blessing in store for us, and we patiently wait. Again, as Paul says, you know, for the hope. The hope that will come to us as well. So yeah, please keep digging into the story, keep reading it, and don't avoid some of the tough things that are in there. And you know, our job is to wrestle with those words and to encounter them. And that's the same with Lord of the Rings, isn't it? You know, you eventually came through, Tom. You eventually saw the whole thing rather than just an hour, you know. And you only had a bit of the story, but now, you know, next week, whenever it is, you're going to have the conclusion of this story, of this quest that they've been called to. But yeah, it's a fascinating story of power, isn't it? You know, and how... power can be addictive, can't it? And dangerous as well if it's misused. And this struggle between good and evil and death and immortality, you know, the striving for answers to the big questions. But it echoes definitely our life and certainly the big story in the Old Testament as well. So well done for watching it.
Well, I mean, as I'm going through Joshua with you, I'm realizing that I really wish this was turned into a big feature length film in the same way, because goodness me, you'd have the same set pieces. You'd have the same level of drama. I mean, if you get an opportunity, perhaps just go back and read Joshua 7 again. Go through it verse by verse and just sort of look at what it says. It's just the most powerful words. And you can just imagine, can't you? You can imagine Joshua falling face down and God saying, look, someone's messed up here. And they find who it is. And everything that falls after it is just, it's the most... cinematic words, and it's just so powerful. And this is why we love cinema, isn't it? We love the stories where we can they're almost a bit far away from what we're at, where we're at, but they talk to our hearts. They talk to what experiences we have seen, and they almost take you away from things but stay grounded just enough so that you're not totally lost. And in this story of Joshua, that's what we're seeing. This is so far away from Newcastle under Lyme in the 21st century. But everything that we're seeing in this just relates so much to our hearts and our own standing with God and our own personal relationship with Him. This is less about church. This is less about the whole United approach. This is more about what we do, especially Joshua chapter 7, how we individually respond. Because I think what we see clearly here is that, as we have seen all the way through, God is going to speak to us. We must believe that as Christians. And when God speaks, we must listen and respond and follow and do. And that leads to action that, as a whole church collective, we can see and we can follow. So keep going. Keep going, church.
Yeah.
Like, you've done so much. We've all done so much. Let's keep pushing forwards into this next season, whatever it may be, whatever it might hold. Let's keep pursuing what God wants us to be doing.
And let's keep doing it together, because I think that's another lesson. You know, Achan isolated himself from the family, from the nation, and, you know, he was lost. And it's similar in Lord of the Rings, isn't it? You know, there's a group that eventually work it out together, you know, and that echoes our need for being with other people. And so don't isolate yourself. Keep connected to people, whether it's a phone call or meeting in a garden or coming to church one Sunday. I know some people are still quite nervous about that, and it is strange, but it's great to be able to meet on the car park and chat to people and just remind ourselves, you know, that we're part of something much bigger that God's involved in. And if we can do that, then I believe that will be a great help for us all to keep on moving forward to enjoy what God has in store for all of us as well. Because there's a prize around the corner that He's called us to, and He longs for all of us to grab hold of that as well. Well, thanks, Tom. I'm glad you went to the cinema now. And I'm feeling a bit gutted that I didn't know it was on, because, you know, another watch of it would be amazing, wouldn't it? But another time, maybe.
Well, if you want to come watch Return of the King with me next Monday,
what a lovely thought.
If you'd like, then by all means, we can go.
Do I get in? Is it OAP rates for me?
Only on a certain day, but you would get a free you would get a free cup of tea or coffee. So there you go. Maybe even a malted milk biscuit too, if your
teeth can chew it.
As we finish today, let's pray, and we're going to pray almost a blessing on everyone listening today. So God, we ask that you'd pour out your spirit upon each of us as we open up our hearts to you in faith. We pray that we may have confidence in what you do and what you give us, and help us, as we've seen all the way through the book of Joshua, help us to never fear the calling that you place on our lives. Help us to believe that you love us. Help us to believe that you want the best for us, and help us to follow you wherever you may call us to go. God, we praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the way that it guides us daily, and we ask that we will never lose sight of your desire for our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, we must be recording this late because I can smell my dinner.
Fantastic. Excellent.
It smells fantastic.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. To everyone else who's perhaps having their breakfast right now, I hope it smells amazing. And if you're listening to us ever so slightly weary and having coffee, then I hope your nostrils are filled with the scent of fresh coffee. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. And we will catch up with you next Sunday. Well, this Sunday coming up.
Don't forget to book.
Yes, yeah,
don't
of course.
Don't forget to
please,
book.
Please, please, please book. We were rammed capacity this week. We have got two services this week. So come along to either of them. If you want to come along to our early morning one and then watch along at home for the main worship service, then that's fine, or vice versa. Whatever you want to do, however you want to engage, we'd love to see you this weekend. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.